Father God, Lord, we thank you already that we have been gathering in your presence. And we thank you that by the blood of Christ that we are able to gather in your presence. And we ask, Lord, that for this next moment, Lord, as we listen to your word, Lord, that you would still our hearts and minds from the rest of our day, and so we can focus on the here and now. Just bless us. In your holy name, amen. It's great to see everyone. If you missed last week, we've started a new teaching series, one that is all around what faith looks like. Last week, John Mark spoke about Abel, talked to us about what faith was like within Abel's life. And this morning, we'll be looking into what the Bible tells us about a man called Enoch. And if I'm honest, the Bible tells us very little about Enoch, so bear with me. It does tell us one very important thing about Enoch and his life. It tells us that Enoch was a man who walked faithfully with God. And so that is what we'll be focusing on this morning, walking faithfully with God. We're going to be reading from Genesis and then settling Hebrews 11. The scriptures or the passage will be on the screen. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, it's Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, and then on to Hebrews 11, verses 1, and then on to verses 5 and 6. So let's go straight to God's word. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. And then moving on to Hebrews 11, verses 1 and then verses 5 and 6. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is God's words. That's the passages we'll be focusing on this morning. So, who is Enoch? You can find Enoch mentioned in around two other places in the Bible, not just in Hebrews or in Genesis. But as I said earlier, we're told very little about him. What we are told is that he's actually the seventh generation from Adam. And some of you might find this interesting, some might not. Adam was actually still roaming the earth in Enoch's day. According to scripture, when you work out the maths and the numbers, Adam was still roaming the earth seven generations later. And so, did Adam and Enoch ever meet? Did they ever share a Sunday lunch? We don't know. It's speculation. The Bible doesn't tell us. But one can wonder. Did Enoch learn how to walk with God due to a conversation with Adam? We don't know, but Adam, at one point in his life, walked directly side by side with God in the garden. This is all speculation. There's actually nothing to prove this or to say otherwise, but you can be curious and you can wonder and think about things like that. There isn't much else that we're told about Enoch except about who his father was. His name was Jared, and you can read about that a verse or two beforehand in Genesis. We're also told that he had a son called Methuselah and other sons and daughters as time went on. And then 300 years later, after the birth of his son Methuselah, he vanishes. He disappears. And we're not told exactly how. All that is made clear is that he could not be found because God had taken him away, leaving a big question mark on what happened, or even how that happened. Over the years, some scholars and theologians have debated, and on a good debate, over what the passage means by the word taken. Did it mean death? Did it mean he disappeared? Did it mean he was physically taken into heaven? Again, speculation, we don't know. But those conversations miss the key importance of the passage. We need to be looking at what does it mean to be walking faithfully with God? And that, as I said earlier, is what we will be focusing on this morning. Faith is a word in the Bible that, depending on the context, can mean different things. And so it's really important that we understand what the writer of Hebrews wants his audience to understand. And so in our day today, we can also get the same message. Thankfully, Hebrews 11 verse 1 provides one perspective on what the term faith may mean. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. When it comes to sentences like this one in the Bible, they seem cryptic. It can be useful at times to read a commentary or two around things like this, or to spend time meditating around them, or most and more importantly, to actually pray and ask God for wisdom on what they mean. And then if you want, you can try and rewrite it in your own words to see if you've understood it correctly. And in this case, you may get something like this. Faith is knowing what you really believe in and the hope that comes with it, and that there are realities which we cannot see with our physical eyes, the spiritual element of God's creation. When talking about the word faith, we can easily think about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, a triune God, and that the Son, that there is redemption for all mankind for their sins due to him being killed, resurrected, and then ascending to heaven, that there is hope, and that hope lies in his return where he will usher in a new kingdom, and that things will become perfect and there will be peace within the land. And that may be how some of us think about the word faith. I'm not arguing that that's wrong, but I think there's a beautiful picture missing from that. Faith is knowing that there is a God who created you in his own image, knowing that there is a God, due to how much he loved you, that he was willing to send his own son to die for you, that God the Father then raised his son from the grave, and that he seated him at his right hand in heaven, and that one day he will return. And the hope that lies in that is that God has promised to restore his creation, that he will remove pain, he will remove suffering, he will remove death physically and spiritually, all of that will be gone. But it is the next part that is beautiful. It is the next part that we actually often forget, where we will be able to walk side by side with God again, like in the garden. And already on earth, we are able to get a taster of that. We see it in Enoch's life, where it states in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked faithfully with God. The passage doesn't give us details on what that looked like or even Enoch's characteristics. But if you're looking to see what someone is meant to look like when they're walking faithfully with God, when they're walking faithfully with Jesus, then we look at their characteristics or their fruits, ones that can only appear from someone who is choosing to walk faithfully with God. Characteristics like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, also known more famously as the fruits of the Spirit. A contrast to the traits that our world want us to adopt. The Apostle Paul reminds us that it is the Spirit that gives life, that allows us to develop such character. And he urges us to keep in step with the Spirit, to keep walking with Jesus and walking faithfully. These characteristics that can be found in someone who is keeping in step with the Spirit, who is walking faithfully with Jesus. And Enoch in Scripture is renowned as a man who walked faithfully. And so I honestly think it's safe to assume that he could have been a man of such character, or he displayed such character. As you listen to those characteristics, more famously known as the fruits of the Spirit, did anyone come to the forefront of your mind who you know who displays such characteristics, such traits, where you can clearly see in their life that they are walking faithfully with God? Is it the love that they've shown you, even though you don't deserve it? Is it the peace that they bring with them, even to situations that seem dire and out of control, but when they enter the room, suddenly there is peace? Or is it the control that they seem to be able to show, where they know what is good or bad for them, physically and spiritually, and so they make wise choices? Or is it the fact that they can hold their tongue from cursing because they know it was designed to bless? Take a second to ponder if anyone comes to your mind who you can see is walking faithfully with God. Just think for a second. And if that person is still alive today, I would encourage you to tell them. To tell them that you really see God through their life, not only by their words or by their actions. But the idea isn't to give them a big head, but it's to actually encourage them to continue to strive with Jesus, to continue to keep in step with the Spirit, to continue to walk faithfully with God every day. We've spent time focusing on what the characteristics of walking faithfully looks like. But the real question is, how do we do that? How do we walk faithfully? Because those characteristics, the fruits of the Spirit, are the result. They're not actually what cause you to walk faithfully with God. It's the result. It's like the end goal. And so how do we do that? And there's a short answer and a long answer. The short answer is with the help of the Holy Spirit. That one seems quite obvious. The long answer, that really depends on where your heart's desires truly lie. Wherever you want the Holy Spirit to change your heart and your desires and align them with Christ. And that's the difficult part. All of us are on a different walk with Christ. For those of us who are here today and are curious about Jesus Christ, but have never actually made a commitment to walk with him, firstly, I want to say it's really encouraging to have you with us if you're here today. And I want to also say that it is possible to start walking with him today. You're never too young, nor are you too old, but the reality is that there will come a time when it will be too late. And so I really encourage you to think and consider about that today. It tells us in the passage that Enoch lived 65 years, had a son, and after he had his son, and only after did he have his son, that it says that he walked faithfully with God. Not before. And so something had to have changed. Something had to have happened in his life where then he decided that he needed to start walking with God and walking faithfully with God. Whether that was something which was supernatural, we're not told. But something must have taken place where Enoch decided to choose to walk with God and walk faithfully with God. Some people presume, and this is actually probably a good reminder for all of us, some people presume that when you commit and start walking with Jesus, that your life sorts itself out, that your money problems will disappear, that your health issues will no longer exist, that your broken relationships become mended, that your addictions, whether that's drink, drugs, or pornography, that they'll suddenly disappear. This is not true. They can still linger because we are still human and we are still sinful. But the difference, and this is where the hope lies, the difference is that you are no longer walking alone. You're walking with Jesus Christ, who is fully God, but is also fully human, who lived through all of life's struggles, who was tempted the same way that we are tempted with human desires, but the difference is he conquered those. And so during those difficult times, Jesus will be walking with you. In times of grief and sorrow, you now have a shoulder to lean on, a shoulder to cry on. In joyous times, you now have someone to laugh with and to enjoy it with. In times of temptation and struggle, you now have a wonderful counselor who can provide guidance. And overall, you have a mighty God who is walking faithfully by your side. It's two-way. And who has ultimately set you free from spiritual death. If you're sitting here today or listening at home online and you've not actually made a commitment to choose to walk with Jesus Christ, please consider to walk with him today. As I said earlier, you're never too young. You're never too old. But there will come a time when it is too late. And so I pray that you choose to walk with Jesus Christ today because he longs to walk with you. For those of us who think that they are walking faithfully with God, but in actual fact, they are walking with legalistic religion, legalistic barriers in the way. And this can become a trap for all of us, where we start out walking with Jesus, where we long to journey together, where we long to be in his word and to study it, where we enjoy fellowship, gathering with brothers and sisters in Christ. But slowly over time, we start thinking to ourselves that we know better, that we know what God wants because we've read a bit. And suddenly, without even really noticing, we've taken on the role of judge, where we start looking at other people's walk with God and think to ourselves, they're not doing Christianity correctly. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us, if not all of us, fall into that bracket at some stage in our life, where we allow tradition, or what we have classed as tradition, to dictate how we should walk with God and how others should walk with God. A healthy way to try and tackle this is actually spend more time with brothers and sisters in Christ whose walk is slightly different than your own, where their worship may look different, where their sanctuary or place of gathering looks different, where their prayer life looks different. Christ has called us to be united as his bride, as his church. He's not called us to break constantly. If what they are doing is bringing glory and honor to God, then who are we to argue? Once we've freed ourselves from such legalistic barriers, then we're able to walk more freely with Jesus. And our journey with him becomes healthier. And we're able to walk faithfully, displaying the characteristics that we mentioned earlier, where we love our neighbors, where we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of falling out with them. Where we display patience and gentleness around the small issues that we actually don't always need to agree on. But it's how you have those conversations. don't allow legalistic barriers or legalistic religion to get in the way of walking faithfully with Christ. For those who believe that they're currently in a season where they are walking faithfully with God, I just want to simply remind you that as you go about your day and you interact with other people, whether that's your family, your friends, or even your work colleagues, there is a high chance that some of those people may never, ever want to walk through the doors of a church, where they may have no interest in Jesus. And a friend challenged me around this 2 years ago, and I want to pass this challenge on to the church. When you're spending time with your family, friends, or work colleagues, those people who actually don't know Jesus, that because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and that you're walking faithfully with God, with Jesus, then the moments that they are spending with you might be the only moments where they get to encounter Christ until the next time they see you. I'm not saying that you need to quote scripture at them or call them to repentance. There may come a time for that. But what I'm saying is that the way you treat them, the way that you speak to them, the way that you care for them should resemble the same way Jesus would, the same way that he would care for them and treat them and speak to them. So be actively aware. Listen out for God's nudges, when to speak, when not to. Continue to be a witness and pray that by the grace of God and God's intervention, not by ours, but by his, that they will hear and accept the gospel. We are only instruments. Continue to strive and seek to walk faithfully with God. There's one last area that I want to touch on before we finish. And it's around the sentence, "For before he was taken, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Enoch was born before the Ten Commandments. He was born before the laws of Leviticus, before the temple and the tabernacle were even created or even thought of. He was born before sacrifices and burnt offerings became requirements. And yet somehow he pleased God to the extent that God decided he would not let Enoch suffer physical death. For us, in today's time, we're blessed to have the Bible. We are blessed to have scripture. So when it comes to looking into someone's life like Enoch's, where we're told very little about it, we're able to look at it through the lens of the rest of scripture, through the whole arching story of a redemptive story. When looking at the story of the Israelites, God's chosen people, when we see them walking faithfully with God, it is because they chose to be obedient. We're walking faithfully with God, and being obedient to God go hand in hand. They are woven together. You can't have one without the other. And there are times in life, I'm talking to all of us here, including myself for this bit, there are times in life where we choose to follow our own desires and not God's. Whether that be by giving in to our greed, by doing something dishonest for our own gain, whether that be by giving in to our lustful desires, either in thought or by action, whether that be by gossiping about someone for whatever reason, the list goes on. We all know in those moments what it is exactly we are doing. Where we think to ourselves, either in the moment or later on when we are coming to Christ, and we think to ourselves, Jesus will forgive me anyway. This type of living, this might sound blunt, But this type of living and thinking cheapens grace. This type of living and thinking cheapens the price that Jesus paid on the cross. Where we choose, where at one point we chose and decided to follow Jesus and give our life to him, and yet we choose what we want to do, not really thinking twice about the cost and the price that had to be taken for our salvation, about the cost and the price that it was for us to be free from sin, from the shackles of death. This type of living is willfully choosing to be disobedient, is willfully choosing not to walk faithfully with God. And this is not pleasing to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed, to stop the sins that you're doing, to stop the choices that you're making which are selfish, is better than the fat of rams. Being obedient means that you must make conscious choices to follow Christ every day, to spend time in conversation with him, time in prayer with him, to spend time in reading his word, understanding his scripture, to spend time building your relationship with him. It takes effort. How do you know what kind of obedience God wants from you if you don't spend time getting to know God? You need to set time aside for him. Being obedient pleases the Lord. We need to completely give our lives over to him, to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Walking faithfully with God takes time, takes discipline. There is also enjoyment in it. But we are called to walk faithfully with him until either the Father calls us to be with him or Christ ushers in his new kingdom. Whichever one of those comes first. And so let's choose to walk faithfully with God every day. When you wake up, you need to make that decision. Be obedient, walk faithfully, choose him. Let us pray, and then the band is going to lead us in a song. Just a reminder, there will be people up here beside the radiator. If there's anything which is going on in your life that you would like to discuss and pray and get prayer about, they would love to speak to you. They'll be up here once we finish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through your word, through the Bible, that we're able to learn more about you. That we're able to learn what it means to walk faithfully. Help us, Lord, not only this week, but for the rest of our lives on earth, to choose to walk with you every morning that we wake up. In times of struggle, in times of temptation, help us, Lord, to not choose our own desires. May we come running to you, literally sprinting to you for guidance. It is you that we need, and not the things of this world. Father, please look after us until we meet again. In your holy name, amen.